Now, in our first topic tonight, we're going to deal with the virtue and the gift of faith and how we can use it to bring God's healing power into our life. Now, the first thing to be said about faith is, first of all, there's a distinction between virtue of faith and the gift of faith. In other words, the charismatic gift, as it's mentioned by St. Paul. First, we're going to talk about the virtue. When we were baptized, all of us, even as babies, were blessed with what we call the three theological virtues: faith, hope, love. These three deal directly with God. Faith is a belief in God, the truths that He reveals. Hope is a trust in God. Love is directly concerned with loving God directly. But it also includes loving our neighbor. But first, God. Now, we're going to deal with faith. And as a virtue, it is a pure gift. In other words, you don't make a $10 down payment and then a further payment like you did tonight on the retreat. But you are given this outright. Before you can even say, Lord, I don't want it, you have it. As babies, you are given that as part of the God life that all of us receive. And it's an ability, and that's the only word I can use at present in English, ability, to believe in the truths that God has revealed and that what He says is true, because as God, He cannot deceive us. This virtue is used not only to accept the truths that God has revealed in the gospel, but it's also used for healing. Basically, it's the belief that God wants to heal us and that He can heal us. Now, when we pray for healing and use our faith, it's not a belief in my faith to heal, but a belief in God and His power to heal. Now, remember the words that Jesus used to the woman healed of a hemorrhage. Go in peace, your faith has healed you. Now, this actually means that when we turn to Jesus in faith and invoke His healing and ask in the name of Jesus, our faith in Him moves Jesus to release His healing power to us, or through us, if we're praying for somebody, to heal another person. On that occasion, Jesus did say, your faith has healed you. But it's obvious that something happened to Him, because He says, what did He say? Power has left me. See? That meant when she made an act of faith, and when we make an act of faith, it draws power from God. But it was God's power that healed her. See? Not necessarily her faith. Her faith released His power, and Jesus chose to submit to it. So it was actually Jesus who healed the person. Okay? Now, our faith or belief in God is a belief in His faithfulness to His promises. For example, Jesus said, if you ask the Father anything in My name, He will give it to you. Now, it's also a belief in His wisdom, His infinite knowledge about every part of our life and of what is best for us at all times. It is a belief in His power, that everything is possible for God and He can heal everything. Nothing is beyond His power. It is a belief in His goodness. God desires only the greatest good for me, for you, because He loves us. And among the good things He wants for each of us is to heal us. Our normal attitude about healing should be that God ordinarily wants us to be in good health, in body, emotionally, and certainly spiritually. Why do we have the charismatic gift of healing? The gift of faith. Not just the virtue of faith, but the gift of faith, which we'll explain later. why the sacraments of the sick, of reconciliation, of the Eucharist as healing, why the long-standing custom of using sacramentals, blessed oil, water, salt for sick persons. Why does the Church in its liturgical prayers, especially at Mass, refer so much to health of mind and body if we are not being urged to believe that God ordinarily wants us to enjoy good health? Now, we're not ruling out redemptive suffering, which God uses as a purifying process in the lives of all people. He uses it for their own holiness, that's one reason, and also for the good of others in atonement for their sins, the conversion and salvation of souls. Every saint has suffered in a number of ways. Some of them, or many of them, have made the supreme sacrifice of giving up their life for the glory of God and as a witness to Christ, love of Christ. All of us have some suffering in our life, and quite often. This can be redemptive until it is removed in one way or another by giving it to the Lord with love. A headache, sore throat, arthritis, back problem, pinched nerve, body bruise, a cut, burn, an earache, any one of the many illnesses that we're subject to, or an emotional pain, loneliness, being unloved, rejected, disappointment, fears, anxieties. All these can be healed, but until they are healed, they can become redemptive and precious as gifts given to God for our past sins or for the good of others, for the conversion or spiritual renewal of a wayward child, a friend or relative. Now let's look at faith as we use it, say, for healing. A text in the Gospel of St. Mark has a powerful meaning in this respect. That's Mark chapter 11, verses 22 to 24. Jesus answered, "Have faith in God. I tell you solemnly, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Get up and throw yourself into the sea,' with no hesitation in his heart, but believing that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. I tell you therefore, everything you ask and pray for, believe that you have it already, and it will be yours." It's a very strong text. Here Jesus is telling us that faith has great power over God, and that he promises to hear our prayer when we pray with that kind of faith, namely, not doubting, but trusting in the goodness of God to keep his promises to us. In other words, to bless us, protect us, grant us our normal needs, and to heal us. Now notice the words, faith in God, not in man, or in our own faith, but in God, and his power to do all things. And this also involves trust in God. These words also remove the burden from people who feel that they do not have enough faith to pray for a particular healing. The faith we're talking about is faith in God's power to heal anyone in need. We know that God does not always demand a particular kind of faith from a person who is seeking healing. He also accepts the faith of the person who prays for him. Sometimes the person healed does not even have that faith, but is healed because of the faith of another person who prayed for them. Take a baby with a hole in his heart. Can't even use the faith that is received at baptism. Or some other illness, a person who is in a coma. Now that's precisely the kind of healing we've had twice. Twice, two babies in different places had had a hole in the heart, where one case it was in Pittsburgh, the other was in Boston. How could that baby know? And it was healed. In other words, God respected the faith of the people who were praying for the baby at that time. We need to see ourselves as children of the Father, and therefore believe that the Heavenly Father has all kinds of wonderful wishes for us, wants to grant us blessings that we do not even imagine possible. So when we pray to Him, we should believe that He wants to answer our prayers and petitions with a greater desire than our desire to ask for them. Now, the important words in the text that we've quoted above are, "Therefore, everything you ask and pray for, believe that you have it already, and it will be yours." Here Jesus is saying that when we pray for certain needs and healings, we should believe that those needs and healings are already taken care of. To do this involves using our imagination, and we know that the Holy Spirit does in fact use this faculty in a number of people during a healing session. For example, through what we call the gift of the word of knowledge, giving some person a picture of what God is doing, or a word like some illness, cancer, heart trouble, arthritis, earache, any one of the many illnesses, to point out that someone in the group, or even not there, is being healed in that part of them. And it's a sign that someone there is being, their prayers are being heard. Or it may be through a word of prophecy given to reassure some person of their healing. But we are encouraged by the Lord's words to also use our imagination in a creative way. As we pray for healing, for example, of a person with a blood clot in the coronary artery, we see the blood clot dissolving and being flushed out of the artery and the heart beating normally, returning to a healthy color and condition. Same thing with a tumor, seeing it as growing smaller, vanishing from a particular part of the body, a broken bone, seeing it mending, and the fracture healing up, and no sign of the break being evident, and the person moving an arm or a leg easily in some activity, or a person with a spine injury involving the vertebrae, seeing the vertebrae healing, joined together, all the pain, stiffness removed, seeing the person able to bend over, do some form of exercise. Same can be applied to a number of other illnesses. A common thing like warts, seeing them as diminishing and disappearing. Infections, bruises, burns, cuts, diabetes, and the symptoms of diabetes. Now, our imagination can stimulate glands and emotions in a very active way, and it can do this in two ways. One, when we think we see something happen that has not really happened. For example, we think there's an accident and we're frightened, and everything within us responds to that as if it really happened. See, the imagination does that. It wasn't the event because it really didn't happen. Or when we actually do see the thing happen, a real accident or some injustice done to someone or to ourselves, our body and emotions are stirred by the picture in our imagination. Now our imagination can be used when we pray for healing in the same way, by seeing Jesus going to a person for whom we are praying, touching that person, healing the precise area that needs healing, making that person healthy and strong, and then thanking Him that this is really taking place. We should continue to hold on to this picture of Jesus restoring that person to good health until it really becomes a healing. Now, it's more applicable too when we pray for ourselves after communion. If you have a particular illness, use your imagination to think of the area that needs healing. It may be a shoulder affected by arthritis. You can't lift it beyond this area. Now, in your imagination, you see that as easing up, the pain leaving. And in your imagination, you see yourself as lifting that arm all the way up, but gradually, all the way up, and you claim healing. and then afterward doing it, raising your arm and saying, Jesus, I believe you can heal me. Thank you. Now, we're not saying that healing will take place in every instant. This, too, must be said. In the best instances, 40% or 50% are healed. What about the other 50? They're not healed for different reasons. We don't know all the reasons. I'm not going to go into that right now. Our prayers for healing might be more effective if we really believe Jesus was already at work healing, rather than wishing him to solve the problem. Now, if what I've said is true, based on the words of the Lord, then all of us can pray for healing. Give me anybody that has the gift of faith, the virtue of faith, and they can pray for healing. And these are the words, Mark 16:17. Jesus said, and these signs shall follow all who believe. They shall lay their hands upon the sick, who will recover. Now, Jesus says in this text, all who believe, not just a few believers, all who believe can lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. He also said, whoever believes in me will perform the same works as I do myself. He will perform even greater works because I am going to the Father. That's John 14:12. Jesus meant that his ministry to the sick, blind, lame, deaf, and so on, was not going to end with his ascension to heaven. He gave a commission of carrying on that work to whoever believes in him. We, all of us, who belong to the body of Christ in baptism, are a part of Christ, an extension of him. So we are his hands when we lay hands on the sick. And as we believe we are indwelt by God, it should not surprise us that we can pray for the sick and then see them healed. Each one of us, with our gift of faith, becomes an instrument of God's healing power as we reach out to one another in prayer and loving faith. We may be held back by our sense of unworthiness, but we should remember that Jesus came to save us. And Paul, Romans 5:8, says, while we were still sinners, unworthy. He wants to make us his instruments in spite of our weaknesses and failures, because it is not anything we have that will bring healing, but it is the goodness and love of God and his power that will do the work. Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. So let's remember our weakness and then humbly place complete trust in Jesus' strength, his goodness, his holiness, his power to do everything. Today we see many people of simple faith doing just that, and knowing the joy of bringing healing to a loved one in the family, and of having family members pray for one another, especially children praying for their parents, and seeing their prayers answered. Now, assuming that you can see the truth of this, in other words, everyone here who is baptized, has the virtue of faith, should feel free to pray for healing and pray for someone that comes to them in need. Pray for yourself. Assuming that you've accepted that, we move on to then how to pray for healing. Again, Jesus gave us some guidelines. He said, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, I will give it to you. And whatever you ask for in my name, I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask for anything in my name, I will do it. Now, the name is not Lord, not Son of Man. It's Jesus. He said, in my name you will heal the sick, cure the blind, the lame, cast out devils. So it is clear that when we pray for healing, we must use the name Jesus. Now, to pray and ask for something in the name of Jesus is not just using a cut-and-dry formula. For the Jews, the name of the person stood for the whole person. So praying in the name of Jesus is to pray in Jesus, in the person of Jesus, in the way Jesus himself would pray. This implies seeing the situation with the mind of Jesus and speaking with the power and authority of Jesus. When a person can do this, we say that person has not only the virtue of faith, but the gift of faith. That's the charismatic gift of faith. In other words, he has a direct inspiration from the Holy Spirit to speak with certainty and authority about what will be done. And it will be done because this is actually God's will. This is how the apostles prayed many times. And a number of the saints and a number of the ministers in the apostolate of healing at certain times. Not always, but at certain times. Now, ordinarily, Christians, when they pray for healing for one another, like a member of the family, can say a prayer like this: Father, we ask you to heal John, Mary, so on, to heal him of this virus or this flu, whatever. And we ask in Jesus' name and thank you. Keep it simple. You don't have to use long paragraphs as if God were in a distance and you had to kind of convince him and call him down. Even a thought reaches the Lord. It is good to say a previous prayer before this one, namely to ask the Father for a knowledge of what he wants to do for this person and what to pray for, and then listen for some moments. This is one reason why I pray in tongues when I pray for almost every kind of healing, so that I let the Holy Spirit pray in me for exactly what the person needs, because he knows that person perfectly and knows what is best for that person. There was a woman widely used, in fact, as Barbara Schlemann, used in healing, and was praying for the conversion of her husband to the Catholic faith. But it did not happen. Then she realized that she had not asked the Lord for what he wanted, and after some prayer was enlightened to see that she was the one who needed changing, because she was not being submissive, forgiving, and loving. After praying that the Lord would make her a better Christian wife and mother, the channel was open for her husband to take steps in the direction of a spiritual conversion that ended up in his becoming a Catholic. Now, some explanation for the gift of faith. Now, this is the charismatic gift of faith, not the virtue. In 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 and 9, St. Paul mentions this gift. And he says, one may have the gift of preaching with wisdom, given him by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And another, the gift of faith, given by the same Spirit. And another, the gift of healing through this one Spirit. So there's a difference between the gift of healing and the gift of faith for healing. This particular gift of faith is not given to all Christians. It seems that this gift of faith is a gift that belongs to a ministry of healing, such as Father DiOrio has, and others, and it is given to help that person pray with assurance and without hesitation or doubt for a particular need. This certainty comes through God's revelation, revealing his will through an associated gift, the gift of the word of knowledge. Through this gift, God reveals that it is his will to heal a particular person of a particular illness at a particular time. Father DiOrio has both these gifts. Through a pain or a picture, he has a revelation of what God is doing and wants him to make known. So he can say, Someone here is being healed of cancer of the lung, or a heart condition, or a back problem, being healed of a bad memory, of being rejected by his mother at the age of 5 years. All that information. And he claims that healing for the person, asks them to verify it, or even to put aside their crutch or cane, as I saw on the 700 Club, and run down the aisle. See, that is the gift of faith, the charismatic gift of faith. He has absolute knowledge of what is happening, and he wants that person to actually get up and behave like a healed person. That is a beautiful thing to see. Okay? That's like the time of the apostles. When a person has the gift of faith, then he can command the illness to leave with every assurance and certainty that it will leave. His prayer might be healed in the name of Jesus of your crippled knee. Put your cane away and walk with perfect ease. And the person will do just that. Just as St. Peter said, remember the Acts of the Apostles? Gold and silver I have none, but in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. And he not only got up, he jumped up. For a person to pray this way means that that person's spirit is united with the Lord in a special way, so that he knows the mind of God and speaks as God himself would speak, or as Jesus would speak. And Father Diorio has said, when I'm in the midst of healing, I'm no longer me. I'm out of character. What she means, the Holy Spirit just takes over. When a person is not blessed with this gift, as most people are not, then we fall back on the common virtue of faith, which we can all use and pray and ask in Jesus' name for the healing of those who come to us for prayers, especially family and friends. Now, what is also required when we're praying for healing, both of the one who prays for healing and the one being prayed for, and that is, we must be forgiving. That's absolutely necessary. If we are to be healed, one of the first things we need to deal with is to be forgiving. Jesus said, I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. John 13:34. This is not a suggestion or an option, but a commandment. To be unwilling to forgive creates a wall between us and the Father and prevents his blessings from reaching us and the ones for whom we are praying. Jesus said elsewhere, when you stand in prayer, forgive whatever you have against anybody, so your Father in heaven may forgive your failings too. Mark 11:25. Sometimes we say, I have forgiven that person, but I just don't like his company. But the kind of forgiveness the Lord means is the way he treats us, and he forgets our wrongdoing, and is willing to communicate with us. And so we must be willing to forget the wrong done to us, and be willing to communicate with the other person when time and circumstances bring us into each other's company. Jesus' commandment simply says, love one another as I have loved you, which means forgive, forgive, not 7 times, but 70 times 7, and that is always. Jesus forgave his executioners and prayed for them. So this commandment makes no allowance for any particular kind of pain, but insists that we love, forgive one another. There was a woman with a chronic bladder infection, came many times for healing prayers, but nothing happened. Then a person in a healing ministry asked the Lord for guidance on the best way to minister to this woman. And she asked this woman about her past life. The woman said it was like being in hell. Her husband had left the family for another woman leaving her with three young children. She was very bitter. When she was asked if she were willing to make an act of forgiveness toward her husband, she was not open, and used many arguments for her right to hate him for causing her so much misery. But with more sharing, she came to realize that she was hurting herself by her hatred far more than she was punishing her husband. She was asked to pray a blessing for her husband, and in it to put a forgiveness of him for neglecting her and the children. This was followed by a prayer of faith for her healing. A few weeks later, she wrote to say that her physical problem was cured, and besides, she now experienced a new feeling of joy in her life. When we live or work with a person who makes our life miserable, we need to make the act of forgiveness repeatedly. And the reason is contained in Jesus' words to Peter about how many times to forgive. Not seven times, but 70 times seven. So a prayer we can make on such an occasion would be, Jesus, I want to forgive this person who keeps hurting me. Please let me see him as you see him. And let me love him with your love as you love him. When we consciously let the love of Jesus flow through us to someone else, there is a healing effect on the relationship. Barbara Schlemann speaks of an example in her life at a hospital with one of the doctors who began to ridicule her for praying with the patients and made sarcastic remarks that left deep wounds in her. She thought of avoiding him, but that would not solve the problem. So she began to pray Jesus' forgiving love toward him. So each time the doctor began to annoy her, she would ask Jesus to fill her with his love so it could overflow onto the doctor. And in time, the relationship was healed. Now remember, in wanting to forgive, we are already forgiving, even if we still feel or have some feelings of bitterness over the hurt. To forgive is a decision of the will, and the channel then is open for God's love to enter into the situation, and our feelings will eventually be healed. Make that distinction then. Don't have any guilt feelings about the fact that you still have feelings of hurt over what someone did, even after you've said, Lord, I do forgive. God accepts your wish, your will to forgive is the actual fact. The healing side of the emotions is something over which we have no control. That's why we need to heal emotions. Okay? When we ask for healing, it might be good during prayer time or Thanksgiving after communion to ask the Lord to bring to mind anyone that we have not yet forgiven. If a name comes to us, we should then ask Jesus for the grace to see this person with his eyes, Jesus' eyes, and forgive him with his own forgiving love, and also ask Jesus to make up for what is wanting in our own forgiveness. It's also important for us to ask for forgiveness of persons whom we have hurt or offended, because this too can hinder the answer to our request for healing. Jesus says, if you are bringing your offering to the altar, there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar, and go and be reconciled with your brother first, then come back and present your offering. Matthew 5, verses 23 to 25. So forgiving and being forgiven also extends to our relationship with God. All of us can become angry with the Lord over something that may have happened to us. Even in the scripture, Moses complained to God about burdening him with the Israelites in the desert, and ended by saying, I would rather you killed me. That's Numbers 11, verses 12 to 15. And some of the Psalms, Psalm 6, Psalm 13, 22, 77, 89, express a discontent with God's providence. But God can bear with us and our outbursts. But when we allow our anger and resentment to prevent His love reaching us, then we have a serious problem. Here's an example. A son was killed in an accident, and the father was in the hospital, and he was furious with God. And as he said, God killed my son in an automobile accident. For years, he refused to go to church or allow his family to talk about religion. He was now in the final stages of cancer of the bowel. And his nurse was Barbara Schliemann, began to pray that he would be reconciled with God, but he remained bitter until the night before he died. He finally consented to see the hospital chaplain, and afterward he said in tears to his wife, "Honey, I feel such peace. Why didn't I do this years ago?" Sometimes our anger with God may be hidden from us, and it is the cause of our not having any joy or an inability to pray, to trust God, or it may be leading to a spirit of despair. We need to be reminded of our Heavenly Father's great love for us and of Jesus' love for us. Look at the cross. You see how much He loved us. I have a plaque in my room, and on the plaque is very small, and the words are, "I asked Jesus how much He loved me, and He said this much," and He stretched out His arms and died. We might read so many of the pages that are so beautiful and inspiring in Scripture, and also in a book that I have been sponsoring for some time. Many of you already have it, He and I. Passages of Jesus' Last Supper prayer. One of them reads like this: "Father, righteous one, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you have sent me. I have made your name known to them, and will continue to make it known, so that the love with which you love me may be in them, and so I may be in them." John 17, 25-26. So these are some directives on how we, who may not have known that we can pray for healing, have the ability to pray for that. We have, first of all, faith. And it's faith that releases God's healing to us. It's not us who heal, but it's the Lord. But it's our faith that initiates that. It's like pressing that electric button. If you don't, there won't be any light here. But if you do, then the current starts. So our faith, as it were, turns on God's power to us. God chooses to submit to an act of faith. And all of us have it. Well, I'd like to have some discussion on this. Questions, I hope I can answer them. Anyone? Maybe, as we've suggested earlier, asking the Lord to reveal to us what it is that He wants to heal. And perhaps at communion time when the Lord is with us in a very intimate way. Maybe we're wondering why our prayer is so dry, why we don't seem to be getting anywhere. And it may be because of some incident in our life we haven't resolved, and it's anger with the Lord over it. We're blaming Him. Because we're blaming Him, we don't feel we can go to Him in prayer. And the Lord may reveal that, or whatever. Maybe we may be blaming the Lord for some family problem because He allowed a father to do this or that, and it's hurt all the family. And we blame the Lord for that. Why didn't He take care of that? Why didn't He hear their prayers? And so we have to go to the Lord and acknowledge that. Does that help? Anyone else? I think one practical result of this would be, first of all, it should clear away any thinking that only a priest can pray for healing, or somebody that has a special ministry. You heard the words from the gospel itself. The Lord says, whoever believes. He didn't say a priest. He didn't say a nun either, did He? He didn't say Father Diorio, did He?
Can one pray for that for himself?
Healing? Yeah. Yes. That's precisely what I've been saying about communion time. See? When the Lord is with us. He is the healer.
He needs to pray for what you want to stop bothering Him.
Yes.
I mean, so that you can have that gift and work it to the help of others. I mean,
then that's something else. In other words, you're asking, in other words, can you pray for the gift of healing? You may, but I'm not sure whether the Lord will give it. And that has to be proven. And then you must ask yourself, why are you asking for it? See? It's not to draw attention to yourself. That's the worst motive you can have. It must be for... But the best thing is to let the Lord choose. He chooses His instruments. And He does that by hearing certain people's prayers. When they pray for healing in a normal way, their prayers are normally answered. Then the Lord is saying, I want to use this person in a special way for healing. That's how it's known. And in prayer groups, that's how leaders come to know certain individuals are chosen. See, they're chosen. They don't come forward and say, now listen, I want to be in healing here. How about it? See, that's not the way to go about it.
Well, Father, the people who are in healing, specifically healing, do they have the special gift of faith that you're talking about?
Not always.
Not always.
Uh-huh. But it would seem that Father Diorio does. Mm-hmm. Whenever he's at least with a large group, and I haven't been with him to know, but I've read what he's written, I've seen him in his ministry on TV, and it seems that whenever he begins to heal, it seems like the Holy Spirit takes over, and it's the Lord who just works through him. That's the gift of healing, not just the virtue.
Right. Well,
of faith, rather.
Is this gift of faith, is it something that you were given maybe right from the very beginning? Or
no.
Is something you might...
It's something that develops. In Father Diorio's life, too, it developed over a period of time. I'm not sure. I don't know much about these, and Father Keller, too, on Long Island. There are a number of ministers like that who are being used. I would say, in other words, it develops with time, because, as we explained, the gift of healing from the virtue of, or rather, the gift of faith, as distinct from the virtue of faith, it means that that person is united to the Lord in a special way at that time. So it calls for, in other words, a deepening of their life, or at least at that time. At other times they might be, you know, quite normal like anybody else. But when they are in the healing activity as such, then they're taken over. And then it's wonderful to see there are possibly four gifts in action. See, it isn't like pulling a gift out of a slot like you pull stops out of an organ and then you begin playing.